from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Two Grand Slam this morning, 7:25. Your chance to win $2,000. Good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. Your texts, your phone calls on the Michigan Wolverines, good enough to win, but was it good enough to you? Do you have concerns seeing the quarterback situation, seeing the O-line still not yet settled? And yes, we understand it's week one. We understand that some sloppiness was not unique to Michigan. Let's start with Steve on the phone. Steve, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning. I guess a couple things from the quarterback. I do agree with John. I think Davis Warren's definitely the guy. I don't have much issue putting Orgy in there. It's kind of like what they did in 21 with Cade and JJ. You got to develop the guy behind him just in case, especially that raw. So I don't mind it. Now, bigger picture quarterback, I think Michigan's hands were tied a bit in the portal. They were in December when all those portal QBs were in the portal being recruited. Michigan's preparing for the title game, and JJ had not declared if he's going to the draft or not. He didn't declare until mid-January. So,
well, Steve,
all those guys,
I agree
Moore,
with you.
Will Howard, they were committed prior to Michigan winning the title or JJ declaring. And so I think Michigan's in a tough spot there. I think if you're going to nitpick, maybe getting a big-bodied wide receiver would have been the move to make to support a Warren or a new quarterback like that. But I think an elite quarterback, it just wasn't possible at that time to get one.
Steve, I'm not going to disagree with you in regards to the timing, just in terms of the reason. I don't think it was JJ. I think there was the belief that JJ was going to make the jump to the NFL. It was more what was going to happen with the head coach and not with the controversies that were going on. It was right. Jim Harbaugh didn't make his decision until January 24 that he was going to take the job out in L.A., and then Sherrone Moore was hired quickly after, but at that point, at January 26, the transfer portal was no longer open.
Yeah, and I agree, John. I think that's a good point. And there's a lot of uncertainty. But if I'm a quarterback, if I'm Will Howard, if I'm Cam Ward, I'm not going to commit to Michigan when I don't know about the coach, when I don't know about the quarterback. I think as Michigan fans, we probably thought JJ might go. But if I'm a Cam Ward out there and I'm looking at 10 different schools that want me, I'm not going to go to a school where I'm not certain as an outsider that the quarterback job is going to be open.
Yeah.
So it's,
and I agree.
Could have gotten a guy in the portal like DJ Ungulele. That was backfired.
No thanks on that one.
Yeah, no thanks. But and thanks, Steve. Thanks for the call. I think his issue or his point of the wide receiver is also very valid.
Yeah.
Samaj Morgan in his role can be very effective. Tyler Morris in his role can be very effective. We saw the lightning button that he hit against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. That's great, but you don't have a big receiver. But if you're a receiver, just like any Cam Ward, insert any transfer quarterback, if you're not going to make that decision because of head coach or whatever. Most people did believe that if Jim Harbaugh left, Sherrone Moore was going to be the head coach.
There would be continuity.
If you're a top end wide receiver, and the team that we're playing this week, Texas, Isaiah Bond, and that group of four transfer receivers, you go there because you know they're going to throw the ball. Do you come to Michigan because as a receiver because they're going to run the ball 37 times against Penn State? Like it's not the offense doesn't recruit itself.
Guys, so we're about 20 minutes into this, and there has hardly been any mention of the defense. And I actually think if my biggest takeaway from the game was, if Wink thinks he needs to blitz that much, Michigan is not going to do what I thought this year, which I thought they could win 10 games. Because I think their defense is so talented. I think they were over-aggressive, and I actually think it made the game closer than it should have been.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that against Fresno. I also think that he had a whole lot of toys that he was able to play with, and he wanted to see who responded, and he knew he could do it against Fresno and still get away with it. Now, if he does that against Texas, you're not going to get away with it.
So my top takeaway was Wink needs to tone it down one notch. I know he's aggressive. I knew that coming in. You don't need to be that aggressive when you have that kind of talent.
A little too Don Brown-esque?
Yeah, the ghost of Don Brown were in the distance.
Well, and here's the one thing, two things defensively that I didn't care for is the rotation in the secondary. If you're going to be aggressive and you're going to put your corners on an island, one of those corners better be Will Johnson. And he's going to gamble, and he gambled in the first quarter and lost. He gambled in the fourth quarter and won.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to happen, but I don't want Miles Pollard one-on-one with
Isaiah Bond with
their top receiver.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, because instead of a 21-yard pass that gets caught at the at the sideline and it's out of bounds, that's a touchdown. And the other thing I didn't like, I know you want to respond to that.
Go ahead.
The other thing is, I think we all learned that Jayshon Barham is a beast like we thought.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a fan, and I could get into this argument with Wink and other defensive coordinators, defensive play callers. I'm not a big fan of lining him up exclusively on the nose. Like, they walked him up over top of the center, and I know why they want to do it, because they want to get a one-on-one block with Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham. But bump him off the ball a yard. Let him hit it on the go. There is nothing more disconcerting as an offensive lineman when you have to block a linebacker or defensive back that is clearly a better athlete. Not as big, maybe not as strong as you, but clearly a better athlete in space when he is running at you. That is difficult. When he lines up and I can snap the ball as a center and instantly put my hand on him, now I take away that athletic ability. I take away that advantage that the linebacker has as an offensive lineman. I'm looking to get my hands on you as soon as possible.
Yeah, neutralize him as quickly as you can. So they blitzed, and I saw the stat, 59% of the time, which would be the most of any team if they were an NFL team. Like, Wink was a heavy blitz guy when he was in the NFL. He was right at the top with Brian Flores. Blitzing almost 60% of the time when Michigan's good enough up front to win without it. It does keep the door open for one-on-ones on the outside, where if somebody gets beat, you've left the door open. And it's why when they play a team like Texas, who likes to use pre-snap, that likes to get guys isolated, that wants to maybe a little dump off in the screen game, and they have the speed, unlike Fresno, to make you pay for it. Yeah, I don't know, you can win blitzing 60% of the time against some of the best teams in college football. But I don't know how much to make of that is the Fresno game plan versus beyond that. I mean, I'm not concerned with Michigan's defense. I mean, Michigan's defense will continue to be one of the best in the country. My concern is with their offense. My concern is at the quarterback position. My concern is that they were punting for a vast majority of the first half of that game against a Mountain West opponent.
And to your point here, Jim, really quick, the point that Fresno State scored to make it a one-score game, they made it 16-10 in the fourth quarter. If they score to make it 31-10 because your offense is playing better, you're not as concerned now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Couple ticket text and phone calls. Let's start with the phones. John and Monroe, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I watched the entire game Saturday night, and I kept talking to my wife and telling her, I said, hey, if these guys play like this next week against Texas, we are screwed. We are going to get slaughtered. I mean, Will Johnson, he's a great, he's a great player. He got burned a couple of times. Now, I know he got that interception at the end to seal the deal, and I was really happy about that. But throughout the whole game, I was in panic mode. And I've been a Michigan fan, probably 40 years, and I've never seen him play that bad in the first half. But, I mean, they picked it up a little bit in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, I was really, really worried about what I was seeing.
Well, I would argue last year against Bowling Green, three interceptions in the first half, a turnover on special teams, that was a worst first half for a better team that Michigan was at that time, playing a worse team in Bowling Green than Fresno State. But I am with you, John. If they play like that, like they did against Fresno State, they play like that, it's a mirror image against Texas, look out. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, they'll lose the game.
Yeah.
Some ticket texters. This one says, I walked away saying Michigan isn't a playoff team. And says MSU seems every bit as bad as Vegas projected. Michigan is like watching Iowa. No, it was not signed Stoney. This one says, I walked away. Yeah, that one says, I'm a Michigan fan. We are officially in uh-oh mode. I don't think it's an overreaction. Texter says, if you have two QBs, you don't have one. John, don't make excuses for Michigan's terrible play Saturday. It's okay to be honest about what we saw. This one says, Jim is sounding like Rieger. Entirely new offense, first time playing together. Won by 20 against a decent team. Calm down, Karen. Mike in Williamston.
Well, here is, the first half was bad. There's no question about it. You're playing Fresno State. You should go into halftime at a minimum up two touchdowns, if not three. And the only saving grace is that when they had to respond at the end of the game in a drive where, hey, Fresno scores a touchdown, they pull within one score, Michigan did respond, and they were able to run the ball. They were able to find Colston Loveland. The problem is, what if they take away Colston Loveland? You've got to be able to hit your receivers. Like, there's always a butt moment or a butt comment. So you've got to be able to go out there and make great improvements. There's no question. You have to play much better. You're playing a top five team and a quarterback in Quinn Ewers. I know Cam Ward played well. I know other quarterbacks played well. Dylan Gabriel for Oregon played well. In my opinion, they're facing the best quarterback in college football in Quinn Ewers.
The drive you're talking about, it's a 7-play, 75-yard drive. That was kind of a gut check, and it's a 6-point game in the second half against Fresno. That's the kind of championship resolve they had last year.
And they had runs of 15 and 21, but it wasn't with the guy that started the game.
Right.
It was with Kalel Mullings. Now, are the coaches going to be able to make the tough call and say, even though you're a captain and you know you're the guy that we were thinking was going to have this moment, we need to make that change and give the ball more to Kalel Mullings, which they did throughout the game.
Yeah, he led the team in carries. He's a sledgehammer. And I think that's what you'd point to is say that's the formula that got it done last year, is running the ball when it's gut check time. And it was Blake Corum in that Rose Bowl. It was Blake Corum against Ohio State when they lost an offensive lineman.
And I don't think Kalel Mullins is Blake Corum. No. I'm not going to sit here and make that argument.
But he's the more physical back.
Is he a Hassan Haskins?
Yeah, I think that's a good comp for him. And Michigan won a Big Ten title doing that.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. More time to react to them and the Wolverines. We'll get some college football thoughts. Big picture at 735. We've got two Grand Slam. We've got Heather's News. It's all coming up next, 97.1.
We are two sleeps away from the kickoff of the NFL season. Can't wait for it. And FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, has a special offer to kick us all off with. Now through September 22, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. That's all customers, and all you got to do is bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you're going to be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel at any time. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to download America's number one sportsbook and get signed up. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Before we give away some money, Heather with the news.
Yeah, so the Michigan State Fair implemented some new restrictions, and they upped their police presence over the weekend after a shooting in the parking lot on Saturday shook fairgoers and also took the life of a 14-year-old boy. So two 14-year-olds were shot, one fatally when gunfire broke out just before 10 p.m. The victim has been identified as Darian Davis, a sophomore at University High School in Ferndale. His friend was also shot. That friend remains in stable condition. Novi police say that the shooting stemmed from an argument that apparently occurred throughout last week in other communities and then carried over into the fair's parking lot. The suspect has not been identified. Has the suspect been identified or found even? It sounds not like it. I heard this boy's parents or his mother speaking, just saying, you know, they want justice. They want somebody who knows anything to come forward. They want to find who did this. It's just a devastating story for sure. Dearborn firefighters worked hard to rescue a man from a home fully engulfed in flames on Monday morning, but tragically, the man passed from his injuries. So when firefighters' crews arrived, the house was already completely engulfed. And like I said, they worked hard, but they said there was so much content inside this home. Police describe it as a hoarder house, that it was really difficult for them to get to this victim that was located in this back room. I mean, they had to get through everything. Two firefighters ran out of air while they were trying to get to this man. They're going to be okay.
Are they all right?
They're going to be fine, but another sad situation, you know, and that's probably also why the house was fully engulfed in flames, is that there was so much stuff inside of it.
It acts as kindling at that point, right? Yeah. It's just more stuff to really burn up.
Yep. Michigan football will have some special guests for its week two matchup. Over the weekend, ESPN announced that College Game Day will be in Ann Arbor this Saturday for the showdown between Michigan and Texas, which is pretty cool. And the game is scheduled to be televised on Fox. And that means Fox is also going to have their pregame show, Big Noon Kickoff, as well.
Mm-hmm. It is the marquee game in college football, and it's right in our backyard.
It's a Greg Pomp game of the week.
Derek Jeter, honorary captain.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. He'll be there, and I do believe All Right, All Right, All Right.
Oh.
He's going to be in town.
Matthew McConaughey is going to be in town?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Big Texas guy.
Sweet. You want to come to the Michigan game? Bring me to the game.
Yes.
Sit right next to him.
Well, we know your affinity for short guys.
Is he short?
How tall is Matthew McConaughey?
He's short? Now, he doesn't come across as short to me. No.
He's probably, I mean, he's probably not Amon-Ra St. Brown stature.
No, he actually is listed at exactly Amon-Ra St. Brown's listed height of 6 feet tall.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Now we got to compare. See, he seems bigger.
It's side by side. Yeah, it's the cowboy hat.
It's the cowboy hat. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Listen to this story. Tyler Reddick didn't let the stomach flu stop him from winning the NASCAR Cup regular season championship. So during Sunday's showdown at Darlington Raceway, Reddick, he radioed his team and said, what? I need some help because
Things are not good in here.
Things are coming out of both ends is basically what he told his team. Yeah. So he did get some medicine, it sounds like, but then he dropped the pills in the car. So he was never able to actually take anything to help, calm his stomach a little bit. He did end up finishing in 10th place. He was awarded enough points to win the regular season title.
Good for him.
Imagine what that was like when he got out of that car. And who had to clean that car?
Well, it was probably contained because they wear the fire suits, right?
Yeah, that, well, but
so probably contained, except for what came out.
I mean,
mouth.
The puke.
Yeah.
I guess.
Unfortunate.
They're wearing little helmets, right?
Yeah, but where is it?
It's probably just all over his mic.
Yeah. Floating around near his chin.
I don't know. I don't think they can move their heads very much, so it would have to be a straight shot.
Disgusting. It's so gross.
All right, people, it's time for the two grand slam.
All right, let's give away some money. Rules are so simple. Everybody knows the rules. You're going to get 60 seconds, 10 questions. Each question you answer correctly, you're going to get $25. If you get them all right, you get $2,000. The key to the game is really using your time wisely. If you don't know an answer, pass. Because if there's enough time, we're going to get back to it. And hopefully, you'll know it the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to poison the well. We are not going to set anybody up
There's
for anything.
There's going to be 10 questions.
And you're going to do your very best.
Yes.
And we're going to root for you to get all of them right.
As we do all the time.
Every single time. with no agendas and no preconceived notions.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
Not us. We would never.
Yeah, even though Doug Karst agreed with us.
Yeah, Doug said it was fine. It was easy. Someone should have won the whole thing.
And he got all 10.
And he did. And Doug got a movie question right.
Yeah, but it was set up for him.
Shh. Don't tell people it was Denzel. He got a movie question right.
He did. Yes.
We're proud of Doug.
And struggled on it.
Yeah, that was the one he struggled on, yes.
Patrick in Westland, the floor is yours. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are
you
doing
guys today?
Good.
I'm great.
Good.
Are you ready to win some money, Patrick?
I hope so. Thank you.
I think you will. All right. Your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go. Who did LSU's football team lose to on Sunday night?
Pass.
Who is the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns?
Quinn Ewers.
Talladega Super Speedway is located in this state.
Florida.
Who played Scott Hatteberg in Moneyball?
Pass.
Joe Musgrove pitches for this MLB team.
San Diego Padres.
This team had the worst record in the NFL last season.
Carolina Panthers.
This band had the 1985 hit Home Sweet Home.
Motley Crue.
Who is the head football coach at the Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
Oh, well, it's not Lou Holtz. I passed. I don't know.
Riverview is located in this Michigan county.
Wayne.
Name one of the teams playing on Monday Night Football next week.
Dallas.
Who did LSU's football team lose to on Sunday night?
Florida.
Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got five of them, right?
Five.
Yeah. You're shooting 50%.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, it's better than zero.
It's way better than zero. Nice job.
$125 bucks. We'll put you on hold. Good job, Patrick. Two Grand Slam brought to you by Femininio Law. Let's go through this, John. He had two chances to answer LSU's opponent.
Yeah, it was not Florida.
It was not.
It was USC.
USC got a big win for the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Starting quarterback for the Longhorns.
Sounds
is,
so weird.
I know. Got to get used to it. Quinn Ewers.
He nailed it.
Yep. Talladega Super Speedway. Not a bad guess. He said Florida, but he was wrong.
It's Alabama.
Who played Scott Hatteberg in Moneyball?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. You have not seen Moneyball, and Heather has not seen Moneyball.
No.
Mm-mm.
Need to change that.
No plans.
Joe Musgrove pitches for the Padres. Got that one correct. Team with the worst record in the NFL, Carolina Panthers. 1985 hit, Home Sweet Home, Motley Crue. So he was rolling there.
Yep.
Then he said he didn't know who Notre Dame's coach was.
Yeah. Anybody but Lou Holtz?
He knew that it wasn't Lou Holtz.
Right, yes. Well done. Yes, but he did not get it.
But it's not Lou Holtz. It's
Marcus Freeman.
Marcus Freeman. Riverview is located in Wayne County. He got that correct.
That sounded like a guess.
Counts
is
anyway.
It Wayne?
Wayne? Yeah. And Monday Night Football, John, you've already seen commercials, promos for it. Yep. The two teams are?
The New York Jets and the San Francisco 49ers.
See if Aaron Rodgers can make it a whole series.
Yeah. It'll be that's going to be a very curious game because the Niners have a whole lot going on. Ayuk is back. But they're down Pearsall because he got shot in the chest. How much of a badass did he look like after getting shot in the chest and walking to the ambulance? Like, I'm okay. I'm okay. Holding a bullet hole that went straight through.
Yeah, for people who missed that, it was a robbery attempt because he's wearing a Rolex and he defended himself. Both sides were harmed in this, right? The shots were fired and he walks off. He avoided any major damage to any organs.
Yeah. That's just and obviously no Trent Williams either, so at least not yet.
Yeah. Now he wasn't shot.
No. But Trent Williams is a holdout.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And football is back.
Yeah. So it's the Jets and the 49ers on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
Be a good matchup.
7:50. We're going to talk Michigan and Michigan State. We need to get the Spartans in the mix. Which fan base should feel more concerned after Week One wins? They both won. They both looked sloppy. Which fan base should feel more concerned? We'll do that at 7:50. We've got college football weekend recap next. Bunch of big storylines from a long Labor Day weekend. It's 97.1.
A lot of confidence going into this winter and this fall because we put a new roof on the house last summer, last fall, and we used Rapid Roofing. They did a terrific job. Showed up in one day, roof off, repairs made, and a new roof installed and everything cleaned up all in one day. It was a great process. Mike Beatty and his company came out. They gave me a great estimate. I went with them, and I just learned this last week or the week before. They've also paired with Wounded Warrior Project to provide a brand new roof for a family in need. They are very concerned about the community, and they're concerned about your home as well. If you want that same protection, you can give them a call at 888-360-ROOF. That's 888-360-ROOF. You can get more information on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Short field would lead to a touchdown. Michigan wins 30-10. Sloppy at times.
Yeah.
1-0. Same story for Michigan State. Sloppy. 1-0. Which fan base should be more concerned? We'll get to that at 7:50 this morning. John, general college football stuff. Florida State's 0-2.
It's a comedy of errors. They had their chances, especially last night. There's a lot of people that watched that game last night wondering if, you know, what would Boston College look like? Because Michigan State's going to play Boston College. Mm-hmm. Boston College looked a lot better than most people anticipated. But, you know, Florida State, there was a series of three downs where they were inside the five-yard line. First a goal from about the five, maybe it was the six or seven. Wide open receiver, broken coverage in the corner of the end zone, mm-hmm. ball thrown out of bounds, not even catchable. Another one where the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage, but a wide open receiver because it's a DJU was supposed to be tall, big, able to see and throw over the line of scrimmage. I thought the receiver could have made a play on the ball. Again, now you're third and goal, and another bad pass on third down left them kicking it right before halftime. All of those missed opportunities ended up being another loss, and I think they have some good players. I think the coaching staff put them in position to win. And I hate to put it on one guy, but there's a reason that DJU was on his third team.
Third team in three seasons. Looks the part, doesn't play the part. And we have enough evidence to say that. 0-2, big hole for a team that started preseason top 10. The ACC as a whole, not a great weekend.
No.
Clemson got their face kicked in. It's clear they've refused to adapt, and they are no longer the program they once were. There's no, Dabo's got one more in them. They fell flat on their face against Georgia, and most teams do, but Clemson has been specifically very stubborn about not bringing in transfers, not really using NIL, doing this, quote-unquote, the hard way, the righteous way, while everybody else competes using all the tools at their disposal. So Clemson loses. Florida State continues to lose. Virginia Tech loses to Vandy.
How long does Dabo have?
Well, he won a national title there.
I agree. I understand that.
But. All right. Listen, I'm not going to defend the job he's doing right now. What I was going to bring up is this ACC situation where Miami steps up into the spotlight. Are they for real, John?
It sure looks like it. Cam Ward, obviously, I mean, he committed there, decommitted. They came up with almost $3 million, and recommitted. And now you look at what he did. He looked really good. I mean, really good. So how real is it against, you know, a lesser opponent?
Yeah, I mean, Florida's, I mean, talk about hot seat. Talk about guys' job security.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Dabo Swinney. Sometime maybe in the offseason or within a year or two, if the things don't improve, they might say, hey, let's mutually part ways. Billy Napier, is he going to make it to next week?
I don't know that Florida's very good, but I am high on Miami. Heather Park and I believe in the Miami Hurricanes. Yes. We had them in the picks this last week. I think they're going to win the ACC, but let me give you a scenario that I haven't heard anybody bring up.
Is that something to boast about? Miami winning the ACC?
Well,
not your guys' pick.
No, that's what I was going to bring up. I haven't heard anybody talk about this. Let's say the ACC's bad. Let's say Miami's like a three-loss team and wins the ACC. Are they guaranteed a bye?
No, we found that out this morning.
I was looking up the bylaws.
Yeah, well done.
And for people, keep this in mind. I don't think this will happen very often, but the top four seeds are the four highest conference champions. They are not guaranteed to go to the Power Four. So if one conference, like the ACC, is dog water, and a team goes undefeated from the group of five, maybe a Boise beats Oregon and goes undefeated. Or
Memphis, who actually could beat Florida State head-to-head.
Right, has a big power win and goes undefeated. If you're 13-0, is there a chance one of those teams would get a bye over a power conference. Like, I think the Big 12 will have a strong representative. I really like Utah. I think there's some programs in there. But if the ACC is down, if they're bad.
Well, and we saw this a couple of years ago. It was 22 that Cincinnati was in the playoffs. I mean,
one of the four
teams. There's an example.
Right. And I don't think people were prepared for that, but I think it's at least an early conversation piece. Notre Dame, big headline. They go into College Station at night with this patchwork young offensive line. They ran the ball. They did a decent job protecting Riley Leonard. They won a grimy, gritty kind of football game. And for Marcus Freeman and company, their path to the playoff is paved with gold. I mean, look at this.
Paved with gold helmets.
Yeah, like, John, like, I don't see them losing two games the rest of the way.
No, I don't think they. I mean, if they do, the wheels have fallen off.
They might not lose one the rest of the way. I mean, I know it's college football, so maybe we chalk them up at 11-1, but they're a playoff team.
No, but the rivalry between them and Stanford, that's not going to be a big game. They've got, they play Florida State, don't they? And so, again, another opportunity for Florida State to try and recover something, but I don't see them beating Florida State. And then they've got USC at the very end of the year. That's their next toughest game.
I was super impressed, and everybody knows their defense was going to be good, but just how good they were. I mean, they were able to man up on the outside, play one high safety, and no separation. A&M receivers had no separation. As someone who bet on Texas A&M, I'm watching going, I don't even know what they're supposed to do at this point. And they just started running it and getting what they could get and eventually got in the end zone in the second half. But it's tough sledding against Notre Dame's front, against those players in the secondary. That defense is for real. The other thing I took out of this weekend was the SEC. Georgia's the headliner. Georgia took care of business. Georgia is great. But the SEC is not a monolith. They like to take the credit of who's ever the hot team. Like when Bama was great, the SEC's great. When Georgia's great, the SEC's great. The SEC outside of Georgia, 0-3 in ranked matchups. 0-3 against ranked teams for the SEC when you take out Georgia. You want to include them, it's still a 1-3 mark for the SEC. They lose to USC. LSU loses, A&M lost to Notre Dame, and then of course Florida, an SEC team, lost to ranked Miami. And I don't know, Florida's not exactly the banner of the conference. My point is, for those that thump their chests at the SEC, keep in mind they will play one fewer conference game than all the Big Ten teams, and their non-conference showing out of the gate was lackluster.
But it also could be a somewhat of a changing of the guard in regards to who some of the best teams in the SEC are. I mean, Alabama still looked pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. Ole Miss
mm-hmm. looked good. Missouri looked good. And so, I mean.
You said Texas? Texas too?
Yeah, Texas. I mean, Texas, Oklahoma are SEC teams now.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma and Temple, they look good. I don't expect Oklahoma to make much noise, but they did look good.
Do you see the Big Ten went 17-1? Again, some of those were not pretty. We're going to talk about two of them in just a second here. 17-1. Do you know the team that lost that didn't hold up their end of the bargain?
UCLA ended up edging out Hawaii.
Yes.
I don't remember.
The Big Ten team that lost. Greg, do you know?
You said this earlier in the show and I was listening. Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Gophers mm-hmm. opened their season with a loss. That was a home game.
North Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it was a Power 5 matchup.
Yeah, no, I know. 17-1 for the Big Ten out of the
gates. Are you willing to make some adjustments in regards to how many Big Ten SEC teams end up making the playoffs?
Well, if Notre Dame steals a spot,
you got a group of five team that's going to be in.
John, I would tell you this. If the ACC looks as bad as they do, it is going to open up a spot for an extra Big Ten or SEC team to make the college football
playoff. Yeah, I saw CBS actually wrote about this already, that the ACC is in big trouble getting an at-large team.
Like they're going to be a one-bid conference.
Big takeaways from just week one. Real quick, Bill O'Brien's a good coach. And I think we forgot that.
Yeah.
And that team was ready to play last night. And as long as he doesn't become the GM at Boston College, I think they might be a little sneaky this year. That game got a lot tougher for State.
Well, we'll see what happens in the House settlement. I don't know that they're going to be able to make trades. So I think he'll be all right.
To your point about State, they're more than a touchdown dog this week with Maryland. That Boston College game is not a gimme. You start 2-2 with the gauntlet. You could be 2-6 fighting to keep guys buying in, needing to run the table to make a bowl game. And I know that's where we set the bar for them this year, was get to a bowl game for Jonathan Smith. So Michigan and Michigan State, some concerns. We'll get to them next. It's 97-1.
Hey, we all think about our finances on a daily basis. And when you need a bank that understands you and is genuinely interested in your success, you should be banking with First Merchants Bank. That's why I bank with them. And whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to ask you questions, ask some follow-ups. They want to get to know you and your situation best so they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's where they live and work. It's their community as well. They volunteer and donate on a regular basis to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Might have been the only good pass Orgy threw. Caught everybody off guard in the end zone, thinking he's going to run. He threw a touchdown. Michigan wins 30-10. That's not necessarily indicative of how close that game was. Michigan's offense was a storyline in this one and not a good storyline, John.
No, it sputtered. It sputtered for three quarters. And, I mean, other than the first sudden change drive that you get, and you got to be able to capitalize on those. Get the ball 35-yard line. You go score. They did. To open things up. But then after that, it was just not much going.
Yeah, I mean, they kicked three field goals. The kicker looked really good, by the way. Yeah. Where'd they get this guy? Arkansas State?
Yeah.
He's got a boot.
Dom Zavada?
Yeah.
I mean, was it 43 or 45, 52, and 55?
He could have hit one from 60.
They were good.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Michigan wins sloppy. Michigan State wins sloppy. Concerns for both programs. Which fan base should be more concerned? Greg has put that up as a poll question. Costa and Jansen on Twitter. You can vote in that. We'll tally those results. John, I think you could talk through both these teams. MSU, 12 penalties, 3 turnovers. Childs, while I think is still going to be good, looked erratic, to be nice. The O-line gave up a ton of penetration. It looked like the same sloppy brand of football from the old regime. And it's hard to even take stuff out of their defensive performance because I thought FAU's quarterback was playing like a loony guy. I mean, just sliding late, causing some weird penalty situations. He was not a good thrower of the football. Like, I like that MSU's defense was swarming, but John, I didn't take very much positive out of what MSU did.
No, they look sloppy. I was expecting more from Aiden Childs, but I will say this, very much like I just talked about Michigan, first time start for a quarterback, first time offensive line. They have that in spades in East Lansing. Instead of, promoting a coordinator to your head coach, they're in a completely different situation where they bring in a new coach and they hit the transfer portal. There's a huge turnover in the roster.
60 new guys.
So there's a new offensive line, new quarterback, new tight end, everything is new. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that, hey, you pass the first test, and that is simply win the game. I don't care how you do it, you win the game. They did that. Now you go from week one to week two, and it's those same aha moments that I talked about with Michigan's offensive line or, wide receivers. What, insert anyone that you want to talk about on Michigan's offense. They having that over in East Lansing as well. This is, you get a chance to look at the film.
Yeah.
Plays that we called. We've been calling them in practice. Here's how it looked in practice. Here's what we were telling you to be aware of. You didn't listen. Now all of a sudden it happened. This is where players have to sit there and go, I get it now. And that concept, just by itself, of understanding where I fit in the offense, the routes that I'm running, the quarterback following through on fakes, looking a defensive back off here or there, they seem like small things and they can be minute details, but they can really change from week one to week two when you fully understand or have a better concept of how an offense is working. So I expect them to play much better. But I think the bigger concern, which fan base should be more concerned, is certainly Michigan's, because the expectations are completely different. Jonathan Smith, it's his first year. We're talking about a bowl game, getting 6 wins. For Michigan, it is promoting a coordinator that had 4 head coaching jobs or 4 head coaching experiences last year. Now he's the head man, and the expectations are completely different.
200 or so votes in, 56% agree with you that Michigan is the team.
I'm surprised it's not more than that. I'm not so concerned about Michigan State. I think they're going to be just fine. Is anybody expecting them to win 9-10 games? No.
But I would, correct. I think the answer is Michigan. But if I could speak to Michigan State, the concern is you're not making a bowl game plan that way. And you wanted to see out of the gate maybe a cleaner difference in this regime than the past regime. And for the record, I think you will as time goes on. Aiden Childs, I think it was supposed to be a coming out party and it was anything but. It was a very erratic game. Some of the throws that he made 50 yards down the field to nobody in particular, there were some wild decisions. He was erratic. I did like what he said after the game. So I don't know if you saw any of this.
No.
But he took a lot of ownership. I think in today's college football where you can get high on your own supply, you're getting paid in a lot of instances now, and for him, that's part of the deal. It'd be really easy to go, no, I'm the best. I'm really good. There's nothing wrong with how I played. It's going to be fine. He came out and he even said, I know I'm sounding like I have an attitude, but I'm not happy with how I played. Like, I know I'm better than this. This is stuff these are throws that I know I can make. These are reads that I make every single day. That wasn't good enough. He took it on the chin and didn't say, well, it'll be okay because I'm great. I thought there was accountability from him after the game, and I think that's encouraging. The talent's there. Yeah. The accountability's there. You're going to see it more often than not.
And a much better opponent in Maryland, at Maryland, this year with Mike Locksley and how he's been able to recruit the DMV versus FAU. Now, I think there are some games I perked up a little bit about in regards to at Maryland or at Boston College. That game last night, watching Boston College. Now, again, we're trying to figure out what is Florida State. Florida State doesn't appear to be much of a threat or very good. So how do you judge what Boston College is? That's a good win. It's better than a win over FAU.
Yeah.
But what does that mean when Michigan State goes there in mid-September? What does it mean this week when they go to, you know, College Park and they play in Maryland?
Yeah, the idea was if you could go 3-1 to start the season, you'd be in a great spot knowing the middle is really tough. If they go 2-2 with losses to Maryland and Boston College, you are backed into a corner to get to a bowl game.
Well, yeah, because then you've got Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan, all, you know, top 25 teams.
And maybe they could surprise someone, but they're probably losing all four.
So if they go 2-2, then you're looking at 2-6, and then you've got to win out against Indiana and at Illinois, who Illinois looked better with the second year of the quarterback.
Indiana looked good too, by the way.
Yeah, Indiana looked okay. I'm not going to get too wild and crazy about Indiana. But then, and Purdue. Purdue looked, I mean, for a Big Ten team playing against a lesser opponent, they did what they took care of business. And Rutgers with Schiano, you know they're going to be physical. They may not be talented, but they're going to play physical. So there should be some concern, but I think they're going to be just fine.
Michigan State fans, this is your chance to call in and talk about your football team. I know Michigan's going to dominate a lot of the discussion, not just on our show, but throughout the station, I imagine. And it's because of what John said. The expectations are higher. This is not a disrespect thing for MSU. If you want to call in and voice some of your thoughts, your concerns, 248-539-9797. But John, you said, and I agree with you, that Michigan fans should be more concerned than Spartan fans right now. We'll get into some of those concerns after Filar's update. It's 97.1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.